Thank you, Rick. Well, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Fantastic. Good. There was a response. Rick, you primed them well. Thank you. Thank you. I don't know about you, but I really enjoy Christmas time. Do you enjoy Christmas time? Fantastic. I love the fact that we get to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Remember all that he's done for us. Because it's the greatest, most life-changing event that has happened in history. And its impact is still happening today. I really enjoy having our family around at Christmas. And I can see Annette smiling at that. So, do you enjoy having... Yeah, she's going, yes, yes, yes. I enjoy giving myself to others at this time of the year through hospitality, through time, all those kind of things, and maybe the odd Christmas gift or two. I enjoy seeing the joy on people's faces at this time of year. You know, just coming in this morning and just seeing faces that were full of smiles. Just, and it's a wonderful time of year. I love seeing, I'm going to speak for myself here, I love seeing Annette's face. And I love seeing the face of other people as they give of themselves in sharing at this time. Do you know what I mean? When you actually have that moment and you're going, actually, it's that joy of being selfless and offering hospitality, offering time, offering energy, offering gifts. And I mean, if you're a parent, you see the joy of opening the gifts on that morning, sometimes way too early. But as your kids get later and older and older, sometimes way too late. It just changes, you know. Many of you will have started your Christmas festivities. You may have started last night. You may have been opening presents at 5 a.m. this morning. But, you know, I want to ask you this question. What do you enjoy most about Christmas? It doesn't have to be a response. That's okay. Think about it for a moment. What do you enjoy most about Christmas? See, what I enjoy most about Christmas for me is that I enjoy remembering and celebrating that God came down. Notice our lovely object lettuce that we had this morning. Came down into the world as a baby. God came down from heaven and was part of our mortal existence so that we may have life and life to the full. Through that act of birth of Jesus and through his life and all that Jesus did, through his death and resurrection, we get restored back to God. And that's what I love most about Christmas. In the Gospel of Luke, this life-changing birth of Jesus is recorded as follows, and we'll put it on the screen for you. Just this little section that I want you to focus on, and let me reread it for you so you can hear it again and let it sink in for us. And it comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. It says this: at the time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken by Quirinius when was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, so this is the line of Jesus, and it fulfills the prophecies of the Messiah, the coming through King David. He had to go to his hometown in Bethlehem. And on Sunday, we heard that was a prophecy that the Messiah would be born out of Bethlehem, in Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee and took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in the strips of cloth, laid him in a manger, and because there was no lodging available for them. In these humble beginnings, God came in human form as a baby. Didn't come riding on a cloud, didn't come fully complete, but was there and in normal everyday birth. And through that act, the world has been forever changed. who's such a humble beginnings. Now, it's difficult for us to imagine a birth that is as humble as this one, as lowly as this one, as the birth of Jesus. Now, births don't always go to plan. Paul, last night, not the Apostle Paul I'll speak about in a little while ago, a little moment, but Paul spoke about how plans change. You know, you don't always, what you put in place doesn't always happen. And I'm sure that Mary and Joseph didn't plan to not have somewhere to stay that night. I'm sure they didn't plan that their child would be born in that way. I'm sure they didn't plan to have Jesus, the only place to lay him down is a feeding trough for animals. Now, we don't know whether that was in a cave, whether that was in a barn, or whether it was actually just beside the road. We don't know that. It doesn't tell us biblically about that. But I think we have romanticized the notion of Christmas a lot through our greeting cards, through the way we do things. We make it all shiny and bright and lovely. And isn't this wonderful? But it was a lowly time, but it was a earth-shattering, world-changing time. Even from this lowly beginnings, Jesus is transformative. Now, there was the announcement of the birth of Jesus, and shepherds changed what they were doing. They came and saw what had happened, the child that was born. Their lives were transformed because of this event. We've been, leading up to this Christmas time, we've been speaking here at church about good news. What is the good news? And the good news is the birth of Jesus that transforms each and every one of us. We are transformed by what Jesus has done in our lives. The good news is that through the saving work of Jesus, through all of his life, his death, that we may have eternal life. Not only that, but God gives us of himself through the Holy Spirit and empowers us, and that we can really change our lives and the world around us. We can transform. Later in the Bible, there's a short book. If you ever want to read a short book, Titus is one of those. It has three chapters. It's not very long. And it's actually about the Apostle Paul. So this is why it gets really confusing when I talk about Paul. The Apostle Paul, not our Paul, the Apostle Paul instructs the church leader Titus about the transformative power of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and how Christians themselves don't have to continue on leading a life that they have already been leading, but can actually be changed and transformed. And when they are changed and transformed, they change the people and the world around them. So let us hear what Titus chapter 3, verses 3 to 7 says. And we'll put it on the screen, just the first verse. Because you're kind of going, oh, it's Christmas Day. Why are we reading about this? You know, at this time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envying, being hated and hating one another. Now, let me just explain a little bit about the people of Crete at that time. They were actually used as mercenaries by the Romans. They would come in and they would use them as hired soldiers to go and do things, and they lived like that. And so Paul, and what had happened is, as the church got planted, they kept on living their life in those particular ways, with hate and malice and discontent and all of those things, rather than being changed by the love of God on our lives. And Paul is encouraging Titus here to encourage the church to change under the power of God in their lives. We have that option to do that as well. Now, I don't know about you. You know, we may not necessarily think of ourselves in that kind of light that's up on the screen, those kind of words. But let me tell you, we sometimes have malice. We sometimes have disobedience. We sometimes don't listen to what we should, and we do bad and evil things. Sometimes on purpose and sometimes just by happenstance. But let me tell you, there is a good news, is that we don't have to live this way. We can change. Our lives can be changed. And what does Paul go on and then encourage Titus, who is then encouraging us? We are encouraged to do this ourselves. It says, but when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appears, so God has come down, God is there. If we take God in our life, will we ask God to be part of our life, saying yes to Jesus in our life as our Lord and Savior today? If we ask that, the love of God, our Savior, appears. He will save us, not because of the righteous things we do, not because we've earned it, but because God has done that all for us. The righteous you've done, but because of his mercy, God gives it to us. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generally through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. In other words, we will have life and life everlasting. But even more than that, we'll have a life that is changed for ourselves. If we let God's love start flowing through us, we can actually be transformed. If we ask for the Holy Spirit to be upon us and empower us, we can be transformed. Let me say this today, and we talked about this on the weekend. We live in a world that has conflict. We live in a world that has hardships and pains. And I was having a conversation at the end of the service and just going, a couple of people were saying it was really good to be pointing that out, that this Christmas there's ongoing war and conflict. This Christmas there are people who are going to go without food. This Christmas there's going to be people who have a marriage breakdown and are going to be not coping very well with families that are separated. At this Christmas, there are going to be people who have lost loved ones and are mourning. As much as I love and enjoy that celebration, we need to realise that the world is hurt and broken. And in that conversation I was having the other night, it struck me that as we are transformed ourselves, we can transform the society around us. If we let ourselves have the love of God flow through us, if we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we start letting that change our lives, we can have an influence on those people around us. So this Christmas, I want to ask you, have you accepted the gift of Jesus Christ into your life? Have you accepted the love of God that is transformative? If you haven't, I encourage you to do so. I encourage you to say yes to Jesus because it is life-changing. This Christmas, if you've said yes, and what I would love you to do is pray. Pray for God to transform you a bit or a lot. Whatever you're wanting to ask, that you may be yourself transformed and that you may actually extend a hand out and help and transform another person's life. May we this Christmas be a people who are transformed by God that brings peace to our world through the acts that we can do in our own spheres of influence. May we be a people who are transformed by God that will bring hope to those that have splits, who are broken, who are finding it hopeless. May we, through the transforming love of God, be able to feed those who are hungry through the giving of ourselves, our time, not just now, but continually throughout the weeks and the months to come. God transforms us. And more than that, God restores us. The greatest gift God gives us is the restoration back into his holy family, his connection with himself. So today, this Christmas, may we be restored, may we be renewed, may we be transformed into the love and joy and peace and hope of God, our Saviour. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, be with you now and remain with you always.